Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. That's right, coming at you live from York Towers, where it's pouring with rain. It's like 10 degrees outside in like the middle of
live
June.
Live from Twickenham, where it's been raining for 10 years, and it's horrible.
It's raining in your heart, I think.
But let me tell you something. It's episode 99.5, boys. 99.5. We are closing in hard on 100.
Mm-hmm. Sips is here also.
Hi, I'm here.
It's raining in Sips. It's raining.
It's raining in my heart as well, guys. Because I hate computers so much. God, they drive me crazy.
You got a new computer. It's really annoying when you get an issue with your computer and just it seems to shut down the world. Like back before I had a smartphone or like anything like this, you know, if my computer was broken, I just felt completely unplugged.
Yes.
It's like when the internet goes down.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck, what have I got installed that will run without the internet?
Well, do you know what happened to me yesterday? And this brought it back to home of me realizing, shit, maybe the internet isn't the only thing I need to worry about. The water went out for the whole day.
Oh.
There was no water in the whole of Southwest London. Like not just me, it's like the whole fucking area. Some big, I don't know what you'd call it, pipe, I guess, something, burst.
Hang on, Sips, were they doing a shit pipe? Let's get
no, it was not the shit pipe. It was some big,
it might have been
some
like
big filtration thing.
It might have been like an offshoot of the installation of the shit pipe, though. You never know.
No, it definitely wasn't, because it was water coming in.
Right.
It's nothing to do with the sewers. So this is just some big turbine thing, I don't know, something like this somewhere just went and burst. Water everywhere, I presume. But it meant...
where you were.
Not where we were. So the water pressure dropped to zero.
Wow.
So it was fine. I turned on the tap. I came down at 7:30, made a cup of tea, filled up the kettle, no problem, off we go. But then when I went to get a cup of water just before we left, I was like, oh shit, there's no water. And the shower, I was like, oh shit, there's no water for the shower. And the toilet, I flushed it and then there was silence. And I was like, okay, this is bad. So yeah, it was out all day. So I went to the shop and I bought some bottles of water to bring back with me. Because I thought, you know, I'll have some drinking water for during the day and when the kids come home and everything. And there was a picture on Twitter of this guy in my area. This is just up the Waitrose, just up the road from me. He filled a shopping trolley with bottle after bottle of Highland Spring mineral water. And I mean, he must have bought 50 to 60 big bottles of this. It was piled up.
Yeah.
And he's wheeling them up the road in a panic. And I'm like, we've been without water for like 2 hours. And this guy is already like... It's the end, everybody! It's the end! Start stockpiling! I just couldn't believe it.
Man.
Well, the thing is, what they say is that... Or obviously, you've got a tank in your loft, right? Or have you not got that with, like, some cold water in it?
No, tank. Nothing
once
like
that. Once that's gone...
We have no tank.
Gone.
We just have cold water mains.
All right, so you're actually just... Everything... But I thought there was, like, a system in houses where it stored a small amount.
They call it your septic tank, right?
No.
I'm not sure why. Like, that was what my... All the old people
tank
I know.
Is
right,
for
I know those
stuff.
Are things
you don't
bury...
want to be drinking out of the septic tank. I'm pretty sure.
I know, but for some reason, people always called it the septic tank. Like I don't know why. Like that was what my father-in-law and other people always called it, the septic tank, even though it absolutely
right.
was not that.
It was not that.
You
no.
you should have a water tank for unless you have like a combi boiler. You should have a water tank.
I have a combi
somewhere.
Boiler. We have no water.
Ah, that's
water
why.
Tank.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have an electric. Boiler, then yeah, you'll have a big
you
tank with water.
It. What do they call
but
it?
But a combi boiler just nukes the water as it
induction,
comes in from the mains.
An induction yeah. boiler, right? Is that what they call it? So it's basically like a giant kettle.
It's got like,
it's
a,
got like a big
yeah, it's got a heating
element.
Yeah, yeah. in it. Yeah,
that's what my mum's got.
Like those fancy showers. Yeah.
We've got one, but we have gas. Gas heats up the water, but the element is just for backup. So we have a tank.
Right. Well, we just got like the boiler freaked out. Like it didn't know what to do. The pressure dropped. I turned on the water. It was like, it just turned itself off, which is a good thing. Yeah. You don't want the pilot like chugging away with no water in there. So it's just like, I'm just going to shut
down. It's like Chernobyl.
Yes, it was like Chernobyl, which is a great show.
You could have had a meltdown.
My kids were saying, Dad, the boilers, it's going to go critical. I was like, don't be ridiculous. The safety measures would never allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And then I ordered them into the bathroom. They came out and their skin was peeling off their faces.
Yeah. A combi boiler can't explode.
It's a combi boiler. It's done. Shut the fuck up. There's no way there's anything wrong with the combi boiler. Now get back to work, kids. And then they were like melting and stuff. Yeah. It's just like in Chernobyl. Did you throw a book at them as well?
Throw a book at them. I didn't. Yeah.
You should have thrown a book at
them. There's graphene everywhere in the bathroom, Dad. Brush your sodding teeth. Get up there and brush your teeth.
Oh, my God. What a show.
What a dad. I love that guy.
That show has ruined me, by the way, because it was so fucking good. I can't watch anything. I can't find anything worth watching now. Like, every time I watch something, I just get depressed. I think, oh, God, I wish this was Chernobyl. I wish they just dragged it on for, like, you know, 8 seasons and the writing got progressively worse.
God, I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, I know, I am too. Yeah. It was just so well done, though. Holy crap.
They did it right, because it wasn't like the usual Netflix series, which are 20 episodes long, and half of those episodes would have just been people having conversations that you've heard before in another show. They just slightly reworded them. It's just like, come on, man. Like, it's too many cliches. Like, it was nice and taut, but it still felt like it didn't rush. It was great. 5 episodes, done. That's all you fucking need. Don't need to do 20 billion episodes. Everybody loved this show. Nice and neat and tidy. Bingo. Done.
Yeah, it was.
I loved the guy in charge with the mustache who was just like ignoring everything. Don't be ridiculous. He was like a Cockney kind of Russian guy.
Seems
to be the
thing. I like the head of the mining guild that goes down.
Yeah, big chubby naked.
So hot, he has to take his clothes off, and he's like stark naked, fucking trudging out of that tunnel.
That was silly.
Apparently, this was all real and stuff. Yeah, you know, like some of the most ridiculous things from the show are like actually have a lot of evidence. Well, or at least like they were in the book that this there was a book that was written, I think. Called,
yeah,
like,
it's a weird thing. I think it's hard to get like the definitive answer because of how secretive the Soviets were and how glossed over everything was, right?
Yeah.
It took them forever to even admit that there was an issue,
yep,
not only to the world, but to themselves, because they just couldn't handle the fact that they'd somehow failed or whatever. Like, it's such a weird, weird system.
But yeah, I guess, it was fucked up. What a fucked up government.
Because it didn't last for very, very much longer after that, so.
And obviously they had trouble with clean water as well.
Yeah. Jesus.
What did you do? Like, when did it come back on and it was all okay? Were there any, like, obvious issues with having no water? Like,
well, you can't have a cup of tea. Luckily, because I only put as much water as I need for, like, a cup of tea and a bit more to allow for, you know, some of it that's lost its steam.
You could have just gone and bought... If that guy hadn't bought all the Highland Springs, you could have got it yourself a couple of bottles, and then
I bought 3 bottles of Volvic because that's what they had in the shop around the corner, and I thought that'll do. It'll be all right. And by about 6 o'clock, it was back on, so it wasn't too bad. But it was like you turn on the tap, and it was like, and then the water started to come out. I was worried it would be like black, grizzly water, but it wasn't. It was fine.
It's weird, the things that you like take for granted, you never think about, and then and it doesn't work one day, and you're just completely, you realize how exposed you become, right?
Yeah.
And like how ill-equipped you are for these things to not work, sort of thing. Like imagine that lasted for longer than it did. Imagine you had no water for like a week. What the fuck would you do?
It would be
like, that'd be crazy.
Apparently they come around with big trucks and give you big plastic containers filled with water.
All right.
It's like, I mean, here's the other thing. The school closed. So I got a phone call. I actually got text messages at 9:10. I was just playing dotes and chilling. And I never look at my phone when I'm streaming. It's going away. If I get a phone call, I'll answer it. So there's another one at like 9:15, 9:20. Finally, they call me at 9:10 and say, the school's closed. Can you come get your kids? I was like, yeah, cool. I'll be there in a sec. Finished my game. Finished my game of dotes. Went down there to get them. And they were like, where have you been? I was like, what do you mean? They just called me. And they were like, no, the school's been closed pretty much since we got here. I was like, Jesus. So my kids were just at school watching movies with all the other kids who also had bad parents and just chilling. And I was like, yeah, you're all right. No problem. So they just
bad
had a day
parents.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, some parents obviously got the message and legged it back in to grab their kids. I didn't get the call till 10 past 10. Rocked up at half 10. And they said, where were you? So Mrs. F is going to listen to this, but I lied to the kids. I told them that I was in Richmond and it took me a while to get to the school. And they were
that's
a good
excuse, yeah.
I don't want to tell them, oh, Daddy just didn't check his phone.
There was water spraying
out. That's what
the
I
road.
Tell my kids too. I say, ah, fuck, I was in Richmond.
Yeah, I was in Richmond. Sorry, kids.
Yeah.
I was like, and they were like, why'd you go to Richmond? I was like, you know, just do some shopping, nosing about. And they were like, huh. And then my youngest said, I thought you might have been playing Dota with your friends and not bothered to come to get us. I was like, no, that would never happen. But that was exactly what happened. But they were right.
What do you think I am? Some sort of piece of shit or something?
Yeah,
Christ.
Come on. What am I, a bad guy? Jeez.
God, she's like a member of the KGB.
She is canny as fuck. The youngest, she is a real. She's come up with her new thing. She's decided that I can't call her by a name anymore. I have to call her the Almighty Peb, P-E-B. I don't know where fuck this name came from, but she is now the Almighty Peb.
Peb.
And she said to me that I was her head minion, which I thought I was happy with that. And she gives orders as the Mighty Peb in this kind of booming voice, and we all have to scuttle around and do what she says. She thinks it's hilarious.
Right.
Well, that's the first mark of a megalomaniacal tyrant.
Yeah, she's nuts. She might be the next Stalin.
Yeah, let's vote for her because, I mean, it's got to be better than what anything else on offer, right?
It's Bojo or the Mighty Peb.
Bojo.
Yeah. Talking a bit about this. This is a good topic because I sometimes get this feeling, right? Like,
we're not talking about politics, are we?
No, we're not. All right. So sometimes I get this feeling when I am, like,
attracted to
exposed animals, right?
Somewhere. Oh, you feel exposed, yeah.
Like, no, for example, right? Like,
what do you mean exposed?
Well, the other day I went to get a Deliveroo, okay, from the street.
Right.
And obviously I walked out of my place and didn't bring my wallet, keys, and actually I didn't even bring my phone, okay? And I was down outside and I was like there holding the sort of front door
open.
Man,
this just has all the hallmarks leading up to the worst story ever. Like, it's going to be something really dumb like
this isn't a story. This isn't
a story. I was locked out of my house all night long and I'm so stupid I couldn't figure out what to do or something. Like, that's going to be the whole story, right?
Well, but that's kind of like, yeah, basically. Like,
give him a chance. Give him a chance.
This isn't a story. This isn't a story. It's an example.
Tell us.
Just a feeling.
Tell us.
That you know how, like... Anyway, long story short, I got locked out. I'd done it before.
Right.
I had to like ring random numbers till they let me back in, and I felt really stupid. It's happened before, and it will probably happen again. And luckily, someone answered, you know, and was like, I'm not a nutcase. I'm sorry. So like, last time it happened, it was on Halloween, and I was like ringing people.
Imagine,
and I was like, sorry.
Imagine you are sitting in your house or your apartment, in this case, I guess, and somebody rings the buzzer and you answer, you're like, hello. They're like, oh, I've locked myself out of the front door. Can you buzz me in? I live at, you know, 201 or something. And you're like, oh yeah, sure. I'll just buzz you in. You don't think anything of it.
No.
Then like 5 minutes later, there's like a soft knock at your door. You're like, oh, weird. I wasn't expecting any company. Go and answer the door. And then somebody just standing there kind of creepily staring at you. And they're like, hi. And you recognize the voice as the person that got locked out. You're like, oh, you got back in then. They're like, yeah, thanks for letting me in. And then they kill you because they were a serial killer. Imagine that. That would be so fucking creepy, right?
Like, well, that was
you'd be
creepy.
Shitting your pants the whole time. You're like, oh, because you'd have it running through your mind like, oh, fuck. I did let this person in. You know, I invited them in.
Well, that's the thing.
It could be vampires.
I am polite. But then instantly in the back of my mind, I put like, well, is that person supposed to be in here?
Yeah.
Could he be robbing something?
Yeah.
Am I causing a criminal to gain entry illegally?
Yeah.
You know, but then at the same time, I'm polite, aren't I? If someone asks and like, you know, I'm going to let him pass. I'm not going to.
Sure.
I don't think I'm, you know, I think your politeness overrules a lot of your like anxieties around that stuff. But I mean, sometimes like, you know, sometimes, for example, we rely so heavily on our phones, you know, so maybe like, I don't know, you're off walking around somewhere and your phone dies or you lose your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck. How am I going to find any? I've got like my card on my phone now and stuff. Like, I don't even carry a wallet. You know, I've got like, if this piece of kit, I just fucking, you know, accidentally drop it down the toilet or it just someone nicks it or whatever. Like when I was on holiday, you know, I was just thinking, fuck, it wasn't actually that bad. But you know what I mean? Like there were these occasional moments where you were confronted by like the vulnerability that you're in, you know, a bit like with the electricity or the power or the internet or like war going out. You know, there's a lot of things that can kind of that we rely on and we just totally take for granted. It makes me scared.
Listen, I had a similar situation not long ago either. We have like this mechanism for our bathtub with the plug. You just twist it to the side and the plug pops open, drain the water out or whatever. And then you twist it back to the other side to close it. So like you leave it open. Then when you run a bath, obviously close it and stuff. So I'd run
a
bath.
Just explain how a plug hole works?
Just in case you didn't know. Okay. You never know nowadays. You never know. There's people out there who probably never had a bath before. You know, they just have showers or whatever. They don't understand how a plug works. It's understandable, right. I guess, but at the same time, kind of alarming, but whatever. I thought I should explain. So I have. Anyway, So I run a bath. I don't normally take baths. Every once in a while, like, I feel like a bit sorry for myself. I'm like, fuck, I could really go for a nice hot bath, you know? Like, why not? I'll just, like, just have a soak and have a nice bath. So I run a bath, take a bath. It's really nice. Watched a bit of Netflix while I was in the bath. Controversial. I know my wife doesn't like it, but whatever. I do it anyway. So I'm done. I get out and I go to twist the fucking thing for the plug and it's just like not working. It's like all loose and it's not catching. So, fuck. So this bathtub is just full of like gross water, my gross water that I've left in there with no way of draining it out. And it took like 2 days before like the plug loosened up enough for me to like get a knife under there. And of course it's all murky water, right? It's all soapy, murky water. So you can't see. So I'm like in there fiddling around with this like bread knife, trying to get this plug open and stuff. The bath is just completely off limits. And every time I go into the bathroom, it was so depressing. You look in this, there's like just this gross, like, you know, the soap had started like leaving a film along around like the edges and stuff.
Jesus.
And it was, oh fuck, it was just the worst. And at that moment I thought like, oh Christ, you know, like I took this plug for granted.
You've
this
just,
whole
like,
time
bucketed it out into the toilet.
No, I mean, that's a lot of effort when you could just, right, like, you know, eventually
just
get it,
wait 2 days,
a butter knife. Yeah, so once I got it open, I found out what the problem was. There's like a screw thing that had gone in too far, I think, like from misuse or something. So I had to like unscrew it a little bit to give it a little bit more leverage so that it would start popping again.
I have to say something at this point. You criticized Lewis for his story about being locked out, and you've just spoken for 5 minutes about a plug that was stuck in a plug hole.
I know. It's pretty bad, isn't it? It highlights, though, just how stupid we've all become, like, as a race. You know, like, we've got all these comforts and luxuries that we take totally for granted.
We didn't have to fend off a pack of wolves.
No, we didn't have, you know,
a wagon train from angry natives.
Yeah, exactly.
We had a stuck plug hole, and Lewis was locked out for 5 minutes.
We didn't have to secure our watering hole and stuff. We're not nomadic in any way either. We, you know, just stay in the same place all the time.
Ugh.
Oh, man. Flax, I did a three back-to-back playthroughs of RimWorld, which in retrospect was like
Jesus.
Not the best.
I'm having an allergic reaction to that concept.
Yeah, I know. It's a very anger-inducing game.
Did you complete the playthroughs? Like,
I did, yeah. Well, all three of them were sort of successful. The first two were definitely successful in that we launched the ship and stuff and it was fine. You know, there's a couple of deaths along the way, but nothing major. It was all right. So the third one we were playing on rough, which was pretty rough. But we had a colony value of like almost 500,000. So the raids were getting tough. Like,
right.
I go to start up the ship, which starts the 15 days of raids. And the first raid we get is a big mechanoid raid with like 16 centipedes, which is tough. Yeah, I mean, they're tanky as fuck. And
how many
hit
guys do you
too
have at this point?
Like 20, maybe, I think.
And are they? Do you have any mods like the Glitter World weaponry mod and stuff like that?
I was using a Smoke Leaf Industries mod, which seemed to artificially inflate my colony value, which I think was why we were getting, we were getting such huge raids in the end. But nothing, like there wasn't anything that I got from it that was like super OP or anything.
So you were basically
these raids.
Like Pablo Escobar in space.
Yes.
And the other cartels were raiding you to try and steal your yayo.
So we're dealing with this raid and it's not going well. And then as this is happening, we get raided by pirates who decide to use sappers. Yeah, so we're fighting like in this kill box and these guys are sapping in and stuff. And basically everything went to shit really quickly and everybody ended up dying or getting kidnapped or whatever. But the ship is still powering up. And in the ship is Terry, the tortoise, who's been in a crypto sleep casket for like 5 years at this point. Just waiting to go. And then so I rage quit because I was so angry because we'd spent so much time building up this colony and everything. It started off as a rich explorer run. So we started with one person and managed to get all that way. Yeah, it was pretty fun. So then I started playing something else. I got bored of it very quickly. And then people were talking about the RimWorld playthrough in chat. So I was like, oh, fuck, I still want to launch this ship. So I'll go back. So I didn't save scum because I was playing commitment mode. So it exactly where I left off sort of thing. But we kept playing. Even though everybody had died, we said, okay, let's keep playing. So raid after raid would come in, burn down the crop, steal a bit of shit or whatever. Some guys would die to like landmines or whatever. It was pretty funny. And this whole time, nobody's going anywhere near the ship. So the ship is just slowly powering up with Terry in it. And everybody's just like, it looked like something out of Fallout. The whole base was in total disrepair. There's crap everywhere, blood and dirt and dead bodies everywhere and stuff. But then like where the ship was just like fine. It had been like sieged a couple of times as well. So it had taken some damage, but it was still fine. And then we managed to launch just Terry.
God bless him.
I know. So Terry went to space for his third time.
So some future civilization will find this mysterious ship with this turtle.
With
and
a 94-year-old. He had Alzheimer's and he was missing an eye as well. So
this must be a very special creature.
Yeah, they must have really liked this guy a lot. He's why is he in space even?
They built this entire craft to rescue this sacred turtle.
That's right. So yeah, it was, man, that game makes me so angry, but also makes me so happy at the same time. It's such an odd game that just elicits such a weird medley of emotions. Oh,
there's
God,
nothing like it.
Yeah. There is nothing like it. It's a great game, but at the same time, man, I passionately hate it as well. Fuck me. Man. It's the worst. It
sounds like Football Manager.
It sounds like Football. Yeah, it's pretty much exactly like Football Manager. Yeah.
It's rage-inducing. You guys haven't played Football Manager, so you don't know. But trust me, it is fucking rage-inducing. And then there'll be moments when it's genuine elation and it's great. So it's just one of those games. Like if I think if a really good game should evoke rage at times because you're invested in it, like deeply invested.
Yeah, I suppose.
In
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I don't particularly enjoy feeling angry, but it's like frustration. Frustration's a funny one too because you know deep down when you think about it, you're just mad at yourself, right? You're angry because you've made a mistake and you kind of realize that you have made a mistake. Like even in that playthrough, like thinking back on it, I could have handled things better, but I didn't at the time. You know what I mean? Like it was a tricky situation and the decisions I made weren't the best. You look back and you're like, ah, fuck, I could have done that better. Yeah. Maybe I would have survived or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing. It doesn't leave you feeling great though. I felt like really bummed out for the rest of the day, which is unfortunate really, but
I don't get that far into it, but yeah.
No, but this was like sort of on top of the audio issues I'm having and stuff as well. It just felt like everything was going wrong sort of thing. So it was not the best, but whatever, you know. You win some and you lose some.
So this week we've had E3 going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My God.
Which is obviously like a big event that I've been to quite a few times, E3.
Do you guys not find it just like total fucking cringe? Like I couldn't even watch it for longer than like 10 minutes. It was so bad.
I watched the EA thing on the Friday because I noticed that EA have done their own thing just before E3 rather than go to E3. Even though I don't think that what they had to show off was big enough to warrant your own thing. Like, I think they should have gone to E3, but I don't know what the deal is anyway, whatever. I watched it and they had this guy presenting it. And whenever I watch these presenters, I realize that even though like what we all do is very sort of in front of a camera and an audience and stuff like that. And you know, I've done that live stage show stuff and I've done big audiences and I've done live streaming.
Yeah.
I could never do that because they come on and they go, "Hey guys, super excited to be here. Really hyped. Who's hyped?" The crowd goes, "Woo!" And I couldn't do that. Like that fake, "I'm so into this," and laughing, ha ha ha, people's awful jokes and stuff. I couldn't do it. Like I'd go out there and be, "Hey, welcome to E3. This is the game we've got to show you. I hope you like the trailer." Like, that's it. You know what I mean? No
yeah.
hype.
That's what a lot of people end up doing. But yeah, some of these people, it's like they're a Blue Peter presenter, you know?
Yeah, and that's when I'm realizing that they probably get paid decent money for that.
Sure.
And everybody knows them. And I'm sure that when they live stream or do their fucking stupid podcast, that it's real popular and people really like them. And I don't know why. I'm never going to be that likable guy. And I feel like it's a big hole.
Who's decided that that's what people want to hear, though? Like, it puts me off. I couldn't watch the rest of it. Like what you were describing there, the weird hamminess and like the robotic corporate messages yeah. and stuff. And it's just like, well, who are you talking to?
I assume there's an audience.
Like, I play these games all day, every day, and I like them. It's not a sales pitch at this point. Like, just be humble and fucking present your game and let's move on here, you know?
They had the one for Star Wars Fallen Order or whatever it's called. Fallen Over, right?
Did they have a fake crowd of people cheering?
Well, they had a crowd. Now, I assume that they were shills.
Yeah, apparently for Bethesda, it seemed like
they were paid shills.
They must have been.
I've been to E3 and I feel like those people aren't. Those people are, maybe it's just an American thing, you know, the kind of people who
get excited about
movies
things,
and cheer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, we're a bit more reserved, but they're not scared to show that they're passionate about something that the like consoles.
Yeah, but passionate about a product?
Yeah!
Like, passionate consoles! About a product, really?
Call of Duty! God damn it, yes! Call of Duty, just do one, yes! FIFA, yes! I love FIFA! Yes! Madden! Oh, John Madden! Yes!
Why do they do that?
I don't know!
Who are those people?
I'm excited about certain things and I would never be like that.
When I was at TI and they unveiled a new hero, people lost their shit. Like, absolutely lost their shit. Like, they had a big live thing. It was like a special presentation. And then they rolled this CGI trailer of Monkey King. And everybody went nuts. And then they had this stage with all these guys dancing around, dressed as monkeys. Like, I'm serious. And they did all this big dance. And it was a big production. Everyone was super hyped. And then they announced, another hero. And people were like, oh, shit. Like, when Pango and Willow and all this. Like, the crowd went fucking nuts. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was hyped. And I'm thinking, maybe they just feel the same way about the new Madden game as I feel about Dota, even though we can't believe it. I think my issue is that they're hyped about loads, about everything.
I know.
Like, you gotta be hyped about one thing. Like, I can't believe you're just hyped about, "I just love everything." Like, then I don't buy your hype. Like, you can't be excited about everything. There must be limits.
Well, this is because at Rembrandt BlizzCon, you know, we had the crowd kind of being the opposite of hyped about Diablo Immortal and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So it does happen. I don't know, though, because I always thought those conferences were packed full of journalists, you know, and but I'm beginning to think that there must be some shills in there.
There must be.
It can't be. And they must just be there to rile up the crowd and to make the crowd more.
Yeah, maybe people cheer more if other people are cheering. Yeah.
Maybe.
Like a little seed to, like, start the noise.
It's like the context, though, right? Like, sometimes you can, I think, like, the infectious crowd thing exists, like, if you're at the World Cup and your team scores or something. You know what I mean? Sure. I could imagine, like, cheering and going nuts and stuff there. But for the announcement of a video game, I don't think I could ever be moved to cheer to that extent. You know what I mean? Like if you show me a trailer for something, like, oh, wow, that looks really cool. You know, like, that's the extent of it for me, I think.
RimWorld 2.
Yeah, I don't think I would be any more sort of animated than that. I can't imagine it anyway. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just not that sort of thing, I don't think. It's like watching a trailer for a movie, you know? Like, I guess, like, people do whoop and go crazy when they see Star Wars trailers and stuff. So maybe it is a thing. I don't know.
I think they used to.
Do you reckon, because there's these fake, well, I say fake, but these real, I guess, react. It's a big thing on YouTube that you get. There's always some fucking guy crying as he's watching the Star Wars trailer.
I love that. That
was so funny. It's so funny, yeah. God, it's like weird, but
I mean,
funny.
That dude lives for that. It's fair enough. He his whole thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I guess if you're super into something, more lore and more canon stuff and more characters being poured on gives you more stuff to be a massive nerd about. And that's fine. Yeah, like, I support that.
I completely agree.
That when they had the Battlefield 5 guys on, and it was like the designer and some guy who does like the plot or some shit and something else, it was just super lame because no one's getting fucking excited about Battlefield 5. Come on, bro. And they kept pointing to people. He knows what I'm talking about because it's like they work for the company. So they're pointing to people who work for the company. They're like in the front row. I'm like, what?
The other thing that
nobody's
excited
for Battlefield 5.
I can't get my head around how people are getting so excited for remakes. I mean, holy fuck. Like, you've already paid for this game and played it like back when it was first made. And now you're going to just buy it again and play it and because it's been remade and with like better graphics or something? Come on. I mean, that's not like an announcement to get hyped about, and people are just like absolutely gobbling it up. It's crazy.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like I think it's a lot of I like seeing that real actual, if it is real, raw emotion and passion, because it makes me jealous in a way that I'm not as excited as I was when I was a kid. You know, like when you're a kid and you're excited about a new thing that's coming out, it's like, oh my god, you know, that level of excitement is like, you know, something you don't necessarily feel that much as you start growing
up. I know, but you're not like even fully emotionally developed at that point in your life. That's the big difference, right? Like, you have no fucking way to handle certain news. Like, your brain isn't quite there yet, sort of thing. So
I don't know what it is. It might be a combination.
You're never going to be like that. Well, you shouldn't really be like that as an adult, but I guess like some people still are.
I guess also we've been eroded down by disappointments and, you know, reality. I don't want to say this like really, but what are you guys actually genuinely excited for? Like, what are you excited for? Like,
sex,
right?
Titties
with your significant other? Like, what are you
anticipating? Any kind of sex. I really like.
You know
sex.
What gets me excited? Knowing that the next day I don't have much to do in the morning, and I'm probably not going to get woken up. And when I go to bed, I get a bit giddy. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be able to, like, sleep longer than usual. That gets me excited.
Yeah, a lie-in is a big one. Wow. Like,
such
literally, I get excited for things like Mrs. F is going to be taking the kids away for a week and I can just fucking slob out for a week. That's genuine excitement. Like, that's really edge of my seat, roller coaster level of excitement. That I'm like, like, it's just so hype.
And what do? You go buy some beers and some Mountain Highland Spring just in case the water goes out.
Yeah.
You get some Doritos.
I actually eat pretty well.
I'm going to a stag party in Portugal next month, and that's exciting. I'm excited for that.
Where are you going?
To Lisbon.
Oh,
for
nice!
Like 3 nights, We're like, it's a long stag party. It's gonna be great. I'm excited for that.
I did that it must have been about 10 years ago with my mate Tim, and we went to somewhere. I think it's called Albufeira. I think that's right. I might have the name
right.
And it's literally a place that's been constructed for British people to go and drink. And there's a beach. That's it.
Perfect.
It's pretty terrible.
No, that's great. I like that.
It was great.
I'm excited
we were in the hotel,
about that.
Woke up at like 11. In the bar by 12, you know, we were just sitting there by the pool drinking until we got enough energy to go into town.
Nice.
And we were sitting there drinking, and there were these very attractive women about 50 meters away, topless sunbathing. Probably not even 50, probably more like 30. Like, we got a good look at them. We're like, holy shit.
Right.
And we're looking at them. And I mean, they're like, literally, they just walked up, they looked around, they tops off, and they were just sunbathing right there on the grass. I was like, wow, that's ballsy. Like, well played. And we're drinking and we're chatting. And then me and my mate are having a good look at them. There's about 15 of us sitting around. And this guy comes up behind me and he plants his hand on the table. And he goes, you see those girls over there? And I thought, oh, I'm fucked. Like, I'm absolutely fucked. And I see my mate Sparky sitting opposite me and he's looking at me like, oh, shit. So I thought this guy was about, I thought he was going to say, that's my fucking daughter, you cunt, and just wallop me one and I would have just been destroyed. But instead he goes, they're Spanish brass, mate. And I said, oh, really? I'm having no idea what Spanish brass meant. I thought he meant they were like senior politicians from Spain, like the high brass from Spain. That was the first thing that popped into my head.
No, I mean, that's, I can see how that would be.
I have still no idea what Spanish brass
so
means.
So it means they're
top,
prostitutes.
They're top military officials for Spain.
It's part of the junta. No, it means they're prostitutes. Like, brass means prostitutes. I don't know. I don't know if it's rhyming slang or or if it's just a slang word or whatever. But apparently they were Spanish prostitutes. And he then went on to tell us that some of his mates had already partaken of these ladies And
right.
Wow.
He said, fill your boots, lads. And I was like, thank you very much. Wait, still not knowing
so where,
what he
do
meant.
Do you proposition them, or is that their downtime?
Like, no, you just go up. Like, this is, this
you
is
just
like
go
the
up
billboard.
To them in broad daylight, and you say, hey, let's do it. And they're like,
and they say, cool. And they have a hotel room, and you go to the hotel room, and you have sex, and you pay them. Like, that's it.
Right.
But for a moment, I thought my head was about to be stoved in by a very large, very tattooed English
gentleman.
This is
good to know. Where does this happen? In Portugal, you said,
in
right?
In Portugal, yeah. Albufeira.
Where I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Good
but
to know.
But the place we were staying at was an absolute fucking dive. It was awful.
Well, yeah.
Like, we were like three to a room. It was filthy. There were people there, lots of families there, but like the worst kind of families. Like, this little kids running around with no sunscreen on, and it was fucking boiling. Like, it was so hot.
Yeah.
These kids were just lobstering right there in front of you. And I just like, damn, these parents don't have any idea. But yeah, it was an interesting weekend. We got absolutely fucked up, I tell you what. My goodness.
Nice. Well, I look see that's so Lewis, back to what you're saying. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's gonna be fun. But
so
conservatively who, I looking forward to it. You know what I mean? I'm not like whooping in my chair and stuff. Like I don't need to hoop and holler about it. Like
I
it's
can
just
tell
like,
Lewis
yeah.
has more questions.
I'm jealous, right? I want to be that guy who is passionate about Star Wars. I want to be on holiday. I want to be Portugal. I want to be excited about stuff. I just feel like I need more. There's nothing really on my radar at the moment, which I'm like, oh, I'm really anticipating this thing.
Yeah, but
like,
we're older now. I think being super excited for things is something that younger people feel because they haven't been let
this
down.
Is life, this is life's way of preparing. You know, life is a death sentence, Lewis, and life has a way of preparing you for your inevitable death. And that's as slowly as you get older and you're approaching this age now, Lewis, I can safely say you get less excited about things. Things on your body stop working. And this all leads up to the point at which you die, and then it's
wedged
by design, so that when you get to that point, you're like, well, fuck, my dick doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked for years.
Just sat
fucking,
in a murky bath of water for 2 days.
You know, I can't fart properly anymore. It doesn't feel good. I can't even sleep. You know, like all the things that you like start to like become problematic for
chipped
you.
Chipped away.
And then when right. you're on your deathbed, you're like, you know what? Fuck this gay world anyway. It sucks. You know, I can't even sleep properly anymore. My dick doesn't work anymore. All video games suck now. They're just remaking old games and trying to sell them as new games and duping
so
all the gamers
that
out there.
Life is miserable, so you don't mind dying.
No, I think it progressively gets more so that you don't mind dying. Yeah,
I think we do get more cynical as we get older.
Yeah, it's exciting up to a point.
Like everything
then,
seems exciting. Like my kids now still look at toy adverts and think, that looks amazing. Yeah. And they get it and they're like, oh, it's pretty garbage, actually. Like, they're still at that point where they get excited about stuff that I know to be suspicious because I remember having those disappointments.
Yeah.
I think as your life goes on, you get more and more familiar with the feeling of disappointment. And that wasn't as good as I thought it was. But that's why we don't get excited, because you don't want to invest too much in
expecting.
Well,
I think you can
something.
Actually get yourself excited about stuff if you like go start looking around. Because remember, Sips was really excited about getting that Nissan Leaf or whatever the car.
Yeah.
The,
hey, you know what? I got an update car, on right? that actually. I got to sit inside a Renault. Is it Renault? Renault Zoe? You know the electric cars.
Wow.
I got to sit in one. It was just pure chance as well. We went to this.
Oh my gosh!
I know
what
there
a
was
lucky
like
day.
What a boon! What a boon!
No, there's a motor show over here. It's all wow. outside, and there's a fun
Lady
fair.
Lady Luck
and
really shined upon you there.
Yeah, no,
day.
No. Listen. So we're walking over there. There's bouncy castles for the kids and stuff. And I thought, oh, fuck, wait for it. It's just gonna be a whole day of standing around watching kids on a bouncy castle. You know, like that's the only reason we were going, because the kids knew that there was bouncy castles.
Might get an ice cream, but have one before.
So it's like,
boring.
Oh, fuck it. Whatever, we'll go and stuff. So we're walking over there, and then there's like all there was like racing and stuff. There's like motorbike racing. There was all these like vintage cars on display and stuff. And then there's this huge area with food and everything. So we're walking through there, and then there's all these like brand new cars on display. So I'm walking by, and I see this fucking electric car, the Renault Zoe.
It's like
and
a dream
like,
car. Oh my
yeah,
god.
And I was
it's like one of those moments where like a hot woman catches your eye and walks by
I'm
you in
the
street.
I'm still working on my wife with this, right? She still is like, no way, we're not getting an electric car. They're not big enough. They suck. They're too quiet. They're dangerous and shit. So I was like, hey, look what's here. She's like, oh, great. And then, of course, like this fucking, you know, Stan the coffin salesman appears out of nowhere with his arms flailing everywhere. And he's like, hey, I noticed that you're interested in this car, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, trying to sell it hard and stuff. He's like, why don't you sit inside it and try it out? And says, all right, fine. So I sat inside it and I got to turn it on and everything. And I was looking
in your
at
mind,
like,
you're like, I'm going to get one over.
I was looking at the instrumentation and stuff. My family had like, you know, in the 20 minutes I was doing that, immediately just walked away and started continuing towards the bouncy castles and stuff. So it was good. But then afterwards, my wife was like asking a few more questions than she normally would about an electric car. So we might be getting somewhere, guys. We might.
Good luck.
It might be working.
Oh, my God.
I forgot to say, on the last Triforce, I went to Birmingham for the Birmingham Dota tournament that we had
at the start
of the month. And I just wanted to say that an awful lot of people came up and said how much they liked the Triforce podcast. I want to say thank you to them.
Oh,
and I also
wow.
had something. This is the first time this has ever happened. I don't know if you guys experienced this. This very, very nice girl came over. She was in the cosplay competition. I don't want to out her as a Triforce fan because you never know. We might, you know, people might not appreciate
it. Stigma.
And she said to me, oh, Hyperion, thanks very much for, you know, doing the cosplay thing. And I was like, no problem. And then she said, oh, by the way, I have a gaping vagina. Although she said, I have a cavernous vagina.
Well,
which, of course, was.
I don't know if that necessarily means she's a fan. She might just be, she might just be stating a fact.
No, she didn't. She said, I love the podcast. She followed up with that. And I said, you are the first woman that's ever actually used what I thought was the gendered version of I have a tiny penis. Women could say they have a gaping vagina, and she did it. I was like, you're the first one, because normally women say to me, I have a tiny penis. I was like, I got you.
I really hope someone overheard.
They did. A couple of people with
her. Old 45-year-old man talking to hot 20-something cosplay vengeful spirit or whatever she was dressed as. She's like all of her makeup on, and she turns to you, oh, I really hope someone overheard that. I just double take the fuck out.
It was magic. It was a great Birmingham moment, I tell you what.
Nice.
It was right in the middle of the arena. Like, there's all the, you know, we're just on the floor near the stage and everything. And she says that. I was like, cool. So yeah, I was happy.
Wow. God.
That's the right response.
I gotta say, we do get a lot of compliments on the Triforce podcast, surprisingly. I don't know why.
Yeah, God knows
why. But they do
why.
All seem to come from guys. Like,
there are a lot of women that listen to the podcast. A lot of them. I've actually got
shout out to Mrs. Flax.
Yeah, she listens to it.
Yeah, Mrs. Flax. There's
a surprising number.
Uses it to check up on you. So it feels like
no, she loves it.
Like more of,
she loves it. Like, she really does.
She's trying to find out your inner workings through this podcast.
Because
she's like, you're slipping.
So
up.
I heard you were on a stag do in Spanish Beach.
I heard that you were admiring some Spanish brass. No dinner for you tonight.
I believe I've already told her that story. And I cooked the dinner, you sexist bastard. Thank you very much.
I'm so old-fashioned, sorry.
Sorry to interrupt anyway. Yes, thank you, everyone.
But yeah, it was a great event. Birmingham was great. And thank you to all the people that came up and said you like the podcast.
Yeah, thanks. I got some news too. It was my birthday last week, but everybody forgot.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
You kept that quiet.
Who cares? Yeah, I'll be honest. Who cares?
Yeah.
We're too old.
Imagine if you said that to anyone else, like in the office or like your kids.
Yeah.
They were like, it's my birthday today. And you just said, who cares?
Yeah.
Just in their
but
face.
But we know. Yeah. Like, none of us, we know that none of us gives a shit.
No,
like,
yeah.
That's it. That's why this is a safe space
that no
for
one
cynicism.
Else gives a shit about our birthday.
We don't
it's
care.
True.
I don't
it's
care. True. I don't want you guys to give a shit about my birthday. Who cares?
It's like a hangover from being a kid, you know, and having a special day all for you.
Yeah.
You
know? I guess people remembered your guys' birthdays, so
you have that confidence
to say who cares, but...
Wait, no one?
Everybody forgot mine, so...
Wait, even your wife?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe you. That pause tells everything.
No, she remembered.
Of course she did.
she remembered.
Like, honestly, what are you, 37?
37?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So
let's 30, go with that.
39, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Second try lucky.
If it was the big one, I'd understand. But yeah, it's you know, I mean, geez, my birthday now. I get a card from the kids. That means everything.
Yeah.
Because they write it themselves. Like, I prefer them to draw a card, or they choose a card, which always makes me laugh because they're always really insulting. They choose the meanest card that they can. And I'm like, cool. Like, that's funny.
My kid said, "What do you want to have for?
Care about that.
What do you want to have for dinner tonight? Because it's your birthday." So I said, "Oh, you know what I would really like for my dinner tonight for my birthday? just like broccoli with spinach sauce all over it for my birthday dinner. And they were like, so I didn't get my birthday dinner, the one that I wanted. We had pizza instead, which was, you know, secretly what I really wanted. But
oh, I see. That's very clever.
It's just a little...
She knew.
Just a little joke I like to do with my kids, you know? Just a little...
That's a good
fun little joke I like to
it's
do
a good
with
one.
My family.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
It's a great one, yeah. It's a real nice one.
I could just see the kids' faces fall when you told them.
Oh, my God. They look mortified. So, like, because they... Because they thought there was an actual chance of that happening, but fuck, I wouldn't even eat that.
Right, talking of food, this is a good segue into a YouGov poll that came out yesterday, actually. The best classic British foods, brackets savory.
Okay? Oh, yeah, I saw this.
So they had God tier, top tier, mid tier, low tier, and crap tier. I have a lot of problems with this list. Because first of all, beef Wellington is not low tier, all right? Pork pies and steak and kidney pies are not low tier. To many people, Scotch eggs are not low tier. Bubble and Squeak is great. And then listen to crap tier. They've got...
Do they have a category for beef gravy on there? Because that's pretty...
Sorry, so what's in the God tier?
God tier is Yorkshire pudding.
Obviously.
Sunday roast.
Sunday roast, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fish and chips.
Oh, well, yeah. Goes without saying.
Crumpets.
Full
English breakfast.
What about a vindaloo curry?
Bacon sandwich. Well, here's the thing. Oh, mid tier is chicken tikka masala. Because that's the actual only food that... Well, here's the thing. There was a guy on Twitter who was upset when when we claimed that chicken tikka masala was British.
Of course
it was not British.
Yeah.
But if you look up the origins of chicken tikka masala, when the first sort of waves of immigrants coming from India and the subcontinent were coming to England and establishing restaurants and things, that was when the big boom in Indian food, I should say like South Asian cuisine really, started to come out in the UK. And chicken tikka masala was a dish that they, I assume, devised for Western palates and British palates, because it wasn't too spicy. It was nice and smooth.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Indian food that you get in Britain is like, it's kind of like Chinese food in America, you know? It's like,
yeah, it's all for the locals. I mean, I've eaten Chinese food in China.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, for one thing, you can't really say Chinese food because it's like huge variance in cuisines and styles from all over this area.
Yeah.
But what we think of as Chinese food, you cannot get over there. Like, you have to go to a restaurant over here which has a lot of Chinese customers. And if you go to Chinatown, you kind of get that a bit, but there's a few restaurants around. There's one in Teddington, actually, which is shit hot. And if you go there on a Sunday for dim sum, it's literally, you'll be the only non-Chinese person in there.
Nice.
And that's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
And it's authentic shit and really, really, really good.
It's so weird.
None of those would make the list for classic British foods because they're just not. Like, they're imported styles of food that have been slightly changed. But chicken tikka masala, the actual recipe, apparently...
It's adapted for a British palate.
Yeah, well apparently chicken tikka masala specifically was created in Britain for British people. So
it was in Liverpool, wasn't it, or something?
Somewhere like that,
Weird fucking story.
But cauliflower cheese is mid-tier.
Well, really?
Cauliflower cheese is god-tier.
I think it depends on, first of all, you, where you grew up, because I think in different parts of Britain, people don't have these things. I never had cauliflower cheese, really, as a kid or growing up.
All right, here's a problem. Cornish pasties, mid-tier. Now, here's my problem. Some people pointed out that you can get some really garbage pasties and that maybe that's what people are judging it by. But then they shouldn't call it Cornish pasty. Because if it's a Cornish pasty, it's from fucking Cornwall, maybe Devon, and they're the fucking business. You can't put them in mid-tier. That really ticked me off.
Right.
So this whole list can fucking do one, honestly.
What do you think needs to be added? I mean, where's the cup of builder's tea? That surely is up there at God tier. What about like a Kit Kat?
No. These are classic British foods. Like savory, for one thing. That was sweet, what you mentioned there. So this is like dishes that you would serve, not just like a thing you can buy in Tesco's, you know, for 50p. I'm talking about like an actual... thing that you could serve for dinner, really, or for lunch, most of these, or breakfast. So these are like meals rather than just a specific thing.
I mean, the thing is, like, it does depend. Like, I grew up in a little village and we had a little chip shop called Wong's Fish Bar. It was like a little Chinese chip shop. And they sold chips, saveloys, and some bits of fried fish, like pork balls and prawn balls and chicken chow mein, the regular stuff,
cream of some young
chicken
guy.
Chow mein. You could order all the regular stuff, right? It was not Chinese at all, really. It was very it was very anglicized.
Yeah,
I think there's a chip shop near me that's run by I think they're Chinese. I always wondered, why would you come all the way to England with all this undoubted knowledge of Chinese cuisine, just to do fish and chips. I kind of feel like...
Because it's so popular and they make money off of it, I guess.
Like, but Chinese food is pretty popular. There's loads of Chinese restaurants.
It is, but chips are more popular, I would say.
Like, I think they like having their own business. But I also think that often, PFLAX, you'll find that these shops have been run for like 50, 30, 40 years
now.
Oh,
you think maybe they bought it from someone else and they were like, cool, we can keep running this. And
yeah, but I think like I think they probably start off with like, I know like the takeaway place that's close to my place does all sorts of stuff. Like you can get pizza there, you can get curries there, you can get chips, you can get like Chinese food. Like they do everything.
You know what it reminded me of? You'll know this reference. Do you remember in Seinfeld when he goes into that restaurant where the guy, the Indian guy, is Babu, is running, he's serving like macaroni cheese and stuff. And he says, Babu, you should cook your own cuisine. And Babu does, and the restaurant goes under. And he's like, you're a very bad man, he keeps saying to Jerry. Yeah. So I thought, I'll just keep out of it. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
You have to adapt to the tastes of the local people. You know? If you went and set up a fucking, you know, restaurant in, you know, that Chinese place that you went to with a hot pot and they love their spicy food, you can't fucking serve bland shit
dude,
there, can you?
You're telling me Greg's wouldn't go down a storm in Shanghai? I'm telling you
Greg's,
right now.
Greg's didn't work in Jersey, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, well, you guys are crazy.
They came over here.
You guys are nuts.
They opened up like 10
you
Greg's.
You shooed them away
and they
with
all closed.
Flaming torches.
No, it's because like it's
get
the same...
Get off my island, you fuckers!
No, but it's the same Subway came over here too and the same thing happened. They opened like 5 Subways. Nobody went. Because locally, there's already like a million nice sandwich shops. So like why the fuck would you go get rubbery Subway when you can get like a nice sandwich from a local
place? You leave
place?
Subway out of this, all right?
No, I'm like, just saying like though, Subway. It's so true. And Greg's was the same. Like there's a whole bunch of, because there never has been a Greg's, there was like a niche for like local bakeries to do sausage rolls and all that shit.
Yeah.
So people are more accustomed to going there already. So Greg's just failed instantly because everybody's like, well, what the fuck would I go to Greg's when I could just go to like this local bakery?
See, that's rare.
A million times better.
In Twickenham, we used to have bakeries and then Greg's turned up and the bakeries went out of business. Like, pretty quick.
Yeah,
they
were
shit bakeries.
They were pretty shit.
Yeah, so you gotta be a good bakery.
The Cavan Bakery on Twickenham High Street had to shut down. Had to shut down because of mice. Mice infestation. Shut the whole place down. I'm serious. Now it's a place where you can take your baby to learn to swim. That's literally Twickenham in a nutshell.
Incredible.
It's a lovely place.
Talking of mice, I have mice. I had to buy humane mouse traps. Haven't caught any yet. We'll keep you updated.
Right. Hey, you know what you should do, Flax? Fucking put them on ice and sell them to a pet shop so that snake owners can buy them and feed their snakes.
Mice. I'm not going to feed
them. You can
make
a little bit. You can make a little bit of money on the side, you know?
Yeah, how much?
A couple of pounds.
I think I had an iced mice before I went on the bouncy castle, actually.
Iced mice. I'm not going to freeze a mouse to feed the snakes.
Why not?
That's horrible. Because I'm going to set it free. It's a little mouse. Let him live his life.
Yeah, but well, he's just going to get eaten by a snake in the wild. You might as well just freeze him.
Thing.
He won't
First
know it's coming.
First of all, he's not going to get eaten by a snake.
How many snakes are in Twickenham?
None.
You know, the snake.
Well, there's grass snakes.
Snake eats a mouse like that. Just swallows it whole and then doesn't eat again for like a week because his insides just like work on that mouse.
I ain't gonna freeze a mouse. That's not cool. I can't do that.
When I went to buy Terry, there was a guy at the pet shop ahead of me who recognized me. He turned around, he's like, "Oh, hey, Sips, what's up?" I was like, "Oh, hey, what's
got
up?"
A gaping vagina, blah blah blah.
I got a tiny penis.
No, he didn't say anything like that. And then he had these plastic Ziploc bags filled with like frozen dead mice. I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I got snakes at home." It's like, holy shit. There's like a special fridge at the back of the pet shop that just has Ziploc bags filled with frozen dead mice and rats and shit.
So you think you got a problem. He's, you know, having mice. He's got snakes.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, it's weird. Like, cause now that I have a tortoise, I appreciate how difficult it is and tricky it is to like keep reptiles and stuff. So props to a snake owner guy there. That's crazy.
Yeah, you've got like dependents. You know, they lead you to give them leaf.
You gotta like you gotta heat them properly and light them properly and
it's
feed them properly.
It's almost like they're not designed to be kept in a house or
no,
taken out
know,
of their environment. Like crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
anyway, thanks everybody. That's the Trifles Podcast 99.5.
On your,
you have to end it here.
On your dial.
Patreon. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Goodbye. Bye.